You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. Live, it is Minor Talk, presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus, along with Alberto Retta, Sal Montes, George Guajardo. We've got a busy show for everybody tonight. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. We are finally talking about UTEP winning a game in any sport. Forget about it. For football or whatever, men's basketball gets a key road victory against UC Santa Barbara tonight. Let's talk about it. We're going to open up the phone lines right away. It is a late night edition of Minor Talk, and we are so excited to have you along here on the program. UTEP defeats UC Santa Barbara 79-76. If you want to talk about it, let's do it right now. 915-505-6009. It was a 14-point game in favor of the Miners. They were up 64-50 with 7:45 left in the game. Maude Bynum had a big three-pointer on his side. UC Santa Barbara then started to make it a little uncomfortable on their side during the final closing minutes of the game. But the Miners win, and all things are kind of okay for UTEP basketball after losing by almost 30 points against Utah Valley. Or there are still some fans who might be a little cautiously optimistic, a little skeptical on this team as well. I mean, this is just a bounce back victory after losing a bad one against Utah Valley. So you had the absolute worst on the road against the Wolverines just about 2 weeks ago. And then tonight they avenged that loss by putting out their best effort so far on the season and beating a really good UC Santa Barbara team that came into this one 4-0 on the season. Sal Montes, that's where we begin the program here tonight.
Yeah, and they answered, a lot of the questions in terms of the fight when you're on the road and things aren't going your way. We got to see that. Obviously, UTEP got out to a great start, and that propelled them, or it helped them, right, get the win. But there's a lot of nuances that go on throughout the game, and they were able to stay afloat. So you like to see that in that regard, but I know it was just the first game, the first true game for the Miners on the road, but UC Santa Barbara was in a similar position. You saw how they responded to give themselves somewhat of a chance later on. So two things you could take away. Miners answered back greatly, but also too, when things aren't going your way, do what UC Santa Barbara did tonight to give yourselves a fighting chance. So, yeah.
Most definitely. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number to get things started here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. 600 ESPN El Paso.com as we welcome into the program Alberto Retta and George Guajardo. I'll ask you guys about your favorite stats that kind of jump off the page, but a couple other things to note. Rebound margin. Of course, it's in favor of the Gauchos. That's three in a row for the Miners losing in the rebound category right there. 39-22 is the total right there for the rebound margin. UTEP forced 16 turnovers this game, only 8 on their side. They shot 49% from the field. They shot 50% from beyond the arc and just 66% from free throw, from the free throw line. We'll get into players who didn't play. We'll get into some of the superlatives. I want to talk a lot about Otis Frazier III. What an all-around performance by him. Devin Barnes hitting some big threes tonight. Speaking of threes, how about Maude Bynum, 15 points in 17 minutes. What a spark he was for this basketball squad. So we'll talk all about that. We'll talk about bigger picture too. I mean, Ball Dog Classic for the Miners is right around the corner. San Jose, they're 1-5. Long Beach State, they're 1-4. And then it's UNC Greensboro, 2-1. Three games, 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And those teams have a combined record of 4-10 across the board, Sal. So is it realistic to think that the Miners can win 4 of 5 to close out the month of November against Division I opponents, knowing what's ahead for them?
It's a thought for sure. However, it's a long season. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. It's going to be a tough stretch. I mean, granted, the records are what they are, and I'll be honest, I don't feel as confident as I felt earlier in my prediction that they would go 1-3 or something along the lines of that. it does look a lot better now, but I said what I said, and I got to stick with it. I can't just change based off of one game. So the way they look tonight, I can understand why people would feel that way for sure, though.
All right, George, give me the stat that jumps off the page for you right away.
Yeah, it's the rebound.
You got to talk into the mic, my friend.
I'm sorry. It's the rebounds for me, right? 39 to 22, but the Miners mitigate that with, you know, points off of turnovers.
Okay.
At one point, second chance points was 9-2. It ended up being 9-12 in favor of UC Santa Barbara, but points off of turnovers 20-9, and fast break points 14-6 in favor of UTEP there.
All right, Alberto, the stats to jump off to you.
For me, it's Ahmad Bynum's second half box. He gets 8 minutes. Perfect from the three. 3 of 3 from the three. 4 of 4 from the field. 12 points in 8 minutes. Electrifying.
Wow.
I like that.
That's a really good stat line right there. 12 points in, what did you say, 8 minutes? That's pretty impressive right there. That's good stuff. Let's go to the phone lines, and we'll keep things moving. 915-505-6009 as we get things started here for Miner Talk. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next. A couple tweets to get to right away. Brian is first up with us. Brian, good evening, man. What's happening?
What's up, y'all? I missed a good portion of the first half, but when I tuned in, things were not looking good. There were a lot of fouls, and then you didn't foresee California Santa Barbara was catching up. And that had me worried because I do have my questions about this squad, especially after the last win against UT Permian Basin. But in the second half, they got it done. Bynum looks really good, and I'm looking forward to how they'll look in the Ball Dog Classics. But, yeah, one thing I will say is that UTEP News owes this team an apology.
I think a lot of people owe this team an apology, my friend. I think there were a lot of people who were out as soon as the Utah Valley game happened. And you know what? It's just a perfect example about how you can't get too overreactionary either way. You can't get too excited about a big win for UTEP. You can't get too low after a big loss for the Miners. It's all about the end of the season. It sounds redundant. It sounds like we're just, you know, falling back on what we're saying, but it's true. I mean, CSA, one bid league, doesn't matter. If you beat UC Santa Barbara at the end, all that matters is you go on a run in the CUSA tournament when it's all said and done and punch your ticket to be an NCAA tournament team. So let's keep it moving. Good call there, Brian. 915-505-6009. A couple tweets to get to here on the program, and then we'll keep things moving. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. Joe Rod hits us up. Regarding UTEP men's basketball game tonight, the over 146.5 hit. Hashtag picks up. How about that? The over under was 146.5, and the final score total was 155. So good job there, Joe. I don't know if you called that one, but I like it. This one also coming in, Herman Flores. How can this be the same team that got blown out by 30 versus Utah Valley Community College? I saw that joke being floated around a couple times. Utah Valley Community College. What do we think about that one, Sal? As far as Utah Valley and how can we explain the two? It's just consistency, man. It's a squad here with UTEP that had a big blunder on the road against Utah Valley. And it's about them trying to find consistency within their play.
Yeah, and two parts on the consistency. One, it's an unfortunate consistency in terms of board play, but you got to see a change of in that response to when things aren't going your way tonight. You got to see a little bit more athleticism on display. So that's a positive thing for the Miners right there.
Paul Reynoso tweets into the program, the Utah Valley game was an anomaly. If the Miners can play like this every game, and if they can rebound better, we will have a chance to win every game on the schedule. Hashtag Miner Talk. Manny David, good win for UTEP. Led the game the whole way. A few big leads, but UC Santa Barbara fought back. Miners still held them off. I didn't like some of the calls against the Miners, but they got the road win. Steve was posting on Twitter and X earlier, Steve Kaplowitz, our very own. He was saying how, talking about the color commentator, admittedly here on our side for 600 ESPN El Paso, we do not watch the ESPN Plus broadcast. We listen to the radio broadcast. We turn down ESPN Plus. And we almost listen to it and watch it in a delay side of things. Some people, it drives them crazy. For us, we enjoy it, I guess, here on the program. We get it in real time, so we're not complaining over here. We like it. And Steve said this, watching the game, former Utah and UC Santa Barbara coach Jerry Pym is losing his mind because he was convinced the Miners fouled on every Gaucho possession. I guess that was the case, Sal. Fans really hated that. They thought that the ESPN Plus crew over there was just home cooking the entire time, kind of like the refs were home cooking tonight.
That's true, but also to kind of look at ESPN Plus crews around the nation.
True.
And whoever's at the home gym has some sort of tie towards that school. So I get it. I mean, people might feel the same way if they were to watch their school take on another school out of conference, USA, whatever the case is, but it's everywhere. However, it was a little comical. It was a lot of ticky-tack fouls, but if you're watching the Miners, that's just something you're going to live and die with. You don't want to tone down that aggression based off of it. Unfortunately, players got in foul trouble early, but when you play that high risk, high reward type of defense, that's what you're going to get a lot too.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. 915-505-6009. And by the way, that defense for UTEP forced 16 turnovers tonight. So yeah, they did have the 39 fouls, or what was it, 34 fouls, whatever that number ended up being. I'm looking at 24. I'm you know, hitting way too high there. 24 fouls total for the Miners. And then on the flip side, Gauchos had only 14 on their side, so foul disparity was there. It was a advantage for UC Santa Barbara, but at the same time, the Miners forced 16 turnovers here tonight, and that showed a lot for their defense and what they were able to do. Zay Galindo, our very own, our pal, was tweeting in to the program, the Miners beat UC Santa Barbara on the road in the Thunderdome to hound the Gauchos their first loss of the season. Otis Frazier had 21 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 blocks. This is UTEP's first true out-of-conference road victory since December 12, 2021, when they beat New Mexico in the Pit. Man, Sal, that's crazy right there.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's
for
crazy.
Them.
They didn't win against anybody at a conference, out of town, last year. They didn't do it. The year before was a tough year, right? That's the Shamar Givens, Mario McKinney year, transition type of season. But they hadn't won an out-of-conference game since the likes of Sule Boom. You know,
like a true
Jamal Bienemy,
yeah, like a true home game. Yeah.
Keontae Kennedy, Titus Verhoeven. That's a good stat.
You're bringing up some amazing names, man. A lot of highlight reels between all of those guys you mentioned. But
what does that say?
I think it says that they're starting to. Oh, I don't know. I shouldn't say they're starting to, but tonight could be the start of, you know, them being able to go into hostile environments outside of Conference USA. We've seen them win tough games in Conference USA, but just kind of looking back at it, man, New Mexico is not an easy place to win at either. But
true.
I mean,
I'll reel off all the games for you.
That's a span of like 3 years or so, you know, and you definitely, if you want to change that trajectory of your program, you got to start doing things you haven't done in a while or ever.
So first time that they win an out-of-conference game since Joe Golding's first year at UTEP. The losses after that New Mexico game include a loss on the road at Texas 72-57, a loss at New Mexico State 95-70, a loss at DePaul 91-70, then a loss on the road, this was last year by the way, to Loyola Marymount 67-47, a loss on the road to Oregon 71-49, and the loss on the road against Abilene Christian 88-82.
Yeah.
You know, as bad as the Utah Valley game, Sal, was the 89-60, that Abilene Christian loss felt worse at the time for the Miners, just in my opinion. At that point, Sal, the Miners had lost. This was just last season, by the way. The Miners had lost 4 of 5 going into that Abilene Christian loss. That loss cemented 5 of 6 at that stretch in non-conference play.
And I think it's the way that game went. It feels like, I don't want to say it slipped away, but it was within reach, and they just couldn't really you know, get a hold of it. And you could feel that it was going to end up the way that it did just by how the game was flowing throughout of it. So that's a oh, man, you're bringing out some sad memories. However, tonight, it makes it a little bit better.
Yeah, I get you on that completely. Let's go back to the phones, 915-505-6009. Sidelines is back with us. Sidelines, is great to hear from you, my friend. Give us your thoughts on this one. UTEP defeats UC Santa Barbara 79-76.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's everybody doing? I think it was a good win. I'm kind of riding with what Sal kind of opened up the show with on how he's not really I guess, too sold per se. I kind of want to see more. I kind of have to agree with that too. I mean, kind of an ugly game all around. Not really so much shooting, but I guess, you know, the fouls and whatnot. Kind of like a gritty game that UTEP kind of played today. But, you know, I was watching the game, you know, been watching Joe Golding's system for about, you know, the past 4 years now. And that's just kind of like the style of play, you know. They kind of just foul a lot. They get into foul trouble. But, you know, you have depth to make up for that. So that was good. I mean, it was a good win. Definitely needed this before the Ball Dog Classic, you know, three games on the road. I guess I think that Classic is really going to tell us everything we need to know about this team. But we should definitely celebrate this win, though. I mean, it was a good day. Anytime the Miners are shooting 50% from three-point line, we got to celebrate it, guys.
Yeah, they led for all 40 minutes as well. I mean, they downed a good UC Santa Barbara team. You can't even just say, oh, well, this is UC Santa Barbara. You know, if UTEP beat Utah Valley, fans would say, oh, it's just Utah Valley. You know, that would be one of those, oh, it's just Utah Valley. But the fact that UTEP beats UC Santa Barbara, this is a good team out of the Big West. This is a team who's a kind of a perennial NCAA tournament team who could contend and maybe even knock off a team in that first round. I just like the fact that the Miners end up getting a great game from Otis Frazier in this one. Your thoughts, mm-hmm. who would you take as kind of like the player of the game in your eyes?
Man, I love what I saw from Ahmad Bynum, man. Credit to Devin Barnes and Otis Frazier tonight, both getting 20 points, over 20 points tonight, but loved what I saw from Ahmad Bynum. I think that's what UTEP's kind of been missing the past 3 years, is a consistent shooter off the bench. And I kind of want to leave, I'll hang up the call after this, but I want to leave you guys with this question. I stopped watching UTEP basketball for a couple of years after these years, but man, Ahmad Bynum really reminds me of Chris Craig.
Ah, that's funny. That's really, really funny. You texted me that, and I thought that was a pretty good one. Real quick, sidelines, your thoughts on volleyball. You're big on UTEP volleyball. We love checking you out at SSN_UTEP. But give us your thoughts on volleyball this week. You cover volleyball all season long for this squad. Can they win it all here for the conference tournament?
Most definitely, they can win it all, but they need the help and support from El Paso and Minor Nation. We need a pack-out Club Memorial, guys. This team, so talented, one of the most, probably the most talented team UTEP has ever had at, you know, as a program. So yeah. I definitely think UTEP's going to win it all, honestly. I think they'll probably beat, my prediction, UTEP beats Western Kentucky in set 5 on Sunday.
Wow. That would be incredible. Mm-hmm. What a historic moment that would be. Good stuff, Kevin. I appreciate you, Sidelines. You take care here on the program as we continue. 915-505-6009-7976. That's the final. UTEP improves to 2-1 on the season, I should say. Actually, 3-1 on the year, on the season, and now just defeated UC Santa Barbara in this game. The Gauchos, by the way, they were 4-0 going into this one. They defeated Portland, Fresno State, San Jose State going into this one. And coincidentally enough, the Miners have San Jose State next. That team is, like I mentioned, 1-5. Long Beach State is 1-4. So next two teams, or next two opponents that the Miners have coming up next in the Ball Dog Classic to start things up, I think that's good for the Miners. I think that's going to be a good thing for this squad to try to get two more wins. Granted, these aren't true road wins, but they're more neutral site victories that the Miners could maybe grab here in the coming week. Coming up next, it's Herman Flores on the program. Actually, this is King Eric. It seems like UTEP is UC Santa Barbara's kryptonite. In a much-needed win with what seemed like a make-it-or-break-it game, the upcoming Vegas trip is also going to tell us a lot about where this team is and what to prepare for in the future. King Eric could not be more correct. Sal, I was saying this during the broadcast. UTEP defeated UC Santa Barbara last year 89-76 at home, and then Santa Barbara also, coincidentally enough, only puts up 76 again tonight, and UTEP puts up 79. So interesting.
That's crazy. I thought this, if that's the case, then this should be the 76 Classic Tournament.
There you go.
Might as well just have it out there. But no, good point. Maybe they are their kryptonite. The same way that we feel about the Miners when it comes to the conference tournament against certain teams.
There you go.
They feel like that about UTEP.
More tweets coming in. This is from Adrian at Enemy Win 3. Quit saying that the regular season doesn't matter, Adrian. We all want to see a winning team. We want to sell out crowds. We want a top four seed in the conference tournament. You guys give me your thoughts on that thought right there. Alberto, you first. Your thoughts on Adrian and what he had to say right there.
Well, I think you have to weigh what you really want, right? Would you rather have a consistent winner in the regular season, or do you want to go dancing in March?
Can you get both? George, is that too much to ask?
That's exactly where I was going to go. You can get both. I mean, we've seen that here in UTEP, and not too long ago even. Well, maybe a little while ago, but I think you can get both, and maybe this team can be the team that finally delivers that. Certainly, like what I saw with the energy, if they could keep that up all season, I like those odds.
Okay. I like what you had to say there. Sal, your thoughts?
I don't know. I don't think it matters too much. It's nice if it happens, but the reason I say this is we've seen perennial Conference USA powers light it up in the regular season, our regular season tournament, or regular season champs, and then they blunder in the tournament.
Good point.
Same with the Missouri Valley Conference and other non-power conferences.
915-505-6009. Totally great point there, Sal. I like what you had to say. UTEP ending up – I also want to mention this. This is a good point to mention. UTEP defeated Cal last year 75-72. That was on a neutral site, by the way. That wasn't at Cal by any means. That was in the SoCal Challenge, so it was on the West Coast. But Cal did not host that game as a true home team. So that's just kind of an interesting thing to note. We mentioned earlier, first true out-of-conference game for the Miners that they won since New Mexico way back in 2021, the first year of Joe Golding. But, you know, to not be completely misleading, last year they defeated Cal in a neutral site game. So there you go. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Trolley Dodger is next up with us. Trolley Dodger, you felt terrible about this game going into this one. We saw your tweets ahead of time, and I feel like you were pleasantly surprised that the Miners at some points dominated this game and ultimately just won it.
Adrian, yes. And yes, I thought the team that went out and played against Utah Valley 15-0, I mean, to start off the game, I think I could have picked four guys at EP Fitness that could have beat that team. Mm-hmm. You know, that was just I don't just follow the Miners. Like, because we don't schedule D1 opponents, I have to see who the D1 opponents that we did schedule, who they beat, just to see who we're facing. So if Utah Valley really is 29 points better than us, are they going to beat North Dakota?
And they lost. They lost to North Dakota, 77-71.
Yeah, they lost. So I'm like, oh, my goodness. We're done. All right, we're done. I was done. I was like, we're done already. UC Santa Barbara played Portland. Rushed them in Portland, and then I'm like, okay, Portland's playing Oregon. I follow it like this. It's so delusional, and I don't know why, but then they take Oregon to overtime, and I'm like, okay, UC Santa Barbara is just that good, and we're going to lose. This smothering defense, this is for real. It was night and day between Utah Valley and UC Santa Barbara. 50% from three-point land. When we made 11, they made 7. You could tell that was probably the difference. We shot 49%. They shot 50 from the floor. They killed it in free throw percentage. But the smothering D and the three-point, that's usually been the crutch for UTEP in the previous years.
Right.
And it was night and day. And you know what? I don't know if you mentioned it. I caught your show a little bit late. I predicted 100-49, and I stood by it, and I was getting crushed in the group text. So that's why I was like, hey, I'm going to call Minor Todd. Don't worry. I'm going to eat crow, and I'm happily eating crow. But I wasn't insane to say 100-49 from what they showed me against Utah Valley.
Okay. I got you down. Good stuff, Charlie Dodger. Always great to hear you. And when you have to eat crow on this show, it's all good. We can eat crow together. Hey, I don't think I was as doom and gloom after the Utah Valley game as other people were on social media. I thought it was a gut punch kind of loss, but that's all it was. And for the Miners, I appreciate them getting up from the gut punch and coming out tonight and throwing haymakers. That's what they were doing. Ahmad Bynum hitting those late shots with 7:45 left in the game to go up 14 points, 64-50. That was huge. Devin Barnes, even though he missed some of those late free throws late in the game, he still hit some clutch ones. So I thought that was really important for the Miners. I thought, you know, even though they had guys like David Terrell Jr. foul out of this game, Derek Hamilton foul out of this game, they still got production from guys like Corey Camper Jr., who played great defense, 4 steals tonight on the road. He ends up in double figures with 13 points when it was all said and done. And of course, don't forget about Otis Frazier III. He told us before the season started he's the best two-way player in Conference USA, and he finished tonight with 21 points, 5 blocks, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds. 4 blocks, I should say, but 1 steal as well. So creating a lot of turnovers on his side, 36 minutes of action, Sal, and they get production from their main guys tonight.
Yeah, and honestly, that's the way that it's going to have to be for a lot of the games that they're in. We were talking about it while the game was going on. It kind of felt like a conference tournament game where you kind of throw everything away and just see who's going to go out there and scrape and claw to get the win tonight. But it does make you kind of wish that there was some form of identity on offense. These guys are too athletic to not be moving without purpose. It's kind of like if you're going to get the ball, you're going to move, and you want to see that athleticism go to work. We see them do it on defense. We see them do it in half court. Now we want to see them do it more consistently on offense. However, if it's back and forth tonight and, you know, there's no offense, which we haven't really seen too much of, it might be like this for pretty much all year. Guys are going to have to come up clutch.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. Let's do this. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
From hometown to national, sports spoken here. 600 ESPN El Paso is KROT El Paso, a Town Square Media station.
Let's keep the phone lines moving. 915-505-6009. Before we do that, big shout out to Jack in the Box with 15 locations open 24/7, 365 here in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is your perfect spot before and after every game. We had Jack in the Box before the game here tonight, Sal.
So good.
It was fantastic. You got a chance to have a what was it? A jumbo.
I think it was
Jack?
A Jack's combo.
I love it.
Combo. Yeah. No, it was amazing, and not even glazing, man. The burger was so perfect. The buns were intact. Nothing was falling out. It wasn't messy. It was delicious.
They did a great job.
Shout out Jack in the Box.
Huge shout out to Jack in the Box. George over here is just laughing because I don't know if he's tired or if he's just laughing at us. But either way, we're having a great time over here on Miner Talk. Let's keep it moving. It's Carlos who's joining us next. 915-505-6009. Carlos, thanks for hanging with us. It's a late night Miner Talk, and you're with us here tonight. What'd you think of this game?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a good win. It's a good win. You know, something to build upon after that dreadful loss against Utah Valley. I thought the offense was clicking for most of the game, except for some droughts, especially with the lead coming down from like 15 or 14, wherever it was.
Right.
Down to like 6. You know, that's something that I was like, oh, this is kind of reminding me of last year's team. You know, this game had all the hallmarkings of like a game that UTEP would lose last year, but, you know, they toughened it out. The defense was really good, especially Otis Frazier, man. I mean, he just played his tail end off. And except I just have one little concern, and it's with our bigs.
Yeah.
Especially coming, like, in half-court sets, they were just putting themselves in horrific positions where they were getting, like, just UC Santa Barbara was just throwing it over them, and they were fouling. And that's just something that they need to work on so they're not putting themselves in that position, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good way of looking at it, too. I'm a little concerned about the bigs just period, man. I know you're talking, you know, I think in late game situations, Carlos, they could rely on somebody bigger to help them out, or they could use somebody bigger to help them out down low, just get them some buckets. And I feel like when they just need a bucket in those droughts that you were talking about, you search for a big man. I remember at one point, John Teicher, voice of the Miners, was saying they've got to push the ball in the inside. They've got to try to drive it inside. And I don't know if it comes from the guards instead of, you know, trying to shoot from beyond the arc from the perimeter, but it's got to be inside. And to me, it's got to be from one of the bigs, and I don't know if that's going to happen this year.
Yeah, you know, look, I guess the most offensively skilled player right now would probably be Derek Hamilton, but Lord, just him on defense is just, like, you just raise your eyebrows and how he, like, positions himself. And so, you know, you want to have a big that gets down there and does the dirty work, you know, so you can stretch that team out, you know, and really alleviate some pressure onto your guards or forwards so they can drive to the basket. But I don't know, man, you know, you would hope that Kalu or Jones can grow into the role, but that's a tall order to ask for.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Any more thoughts, Carlos? And then we're going to wind it up with some other thoughts on the bigs.
No, that's it for me, man. Thanks,
good
guys.
Stuff. Hey, good stuff, Carlos. Appreciate that. Guys, we got to talk about the bigs. UTEP has a big issue with the bigs in the front court. It's an NIL issue because they don't have enough NIL money to go out and get bigs. And it's just the reality. You know, bigs cost a lot in college basketball right now. Miners have what they have. And this is the trio they're running with. I mean, you heard voice of the Miners, John Teicher, ask Joe Golding postgame, you know, how you get more rebounds here in the future. And it's got to be somebody from that locker room. It's got to be somebody from this group right here. It's not going to be from the portal. Not going to be somebody in January who suddenly appears on this team. Not going to be DeCannon Wickware coming off the bench and suddenly sparking the rebound margin for the Miners. And it's more than just rebound, Sal. It's scoring in the paint.
And you see the way that it kind of affects the game as well. It's almost as if they're kind of doubling down on that aggression on defense, because the way that they want to play in terms of using their bigs, it hasn't really happened much all year, and really under Golding, just with the style of defense that they have. So they're doubling down on that aggression. They're saying, to hell with the rebounds, we'll just get a steal. We force turnovers so often, it might make up for some of these other areas. So I wonder if that's kind of part of it. However, on defense, when they're switching around, and they're not too bad on the switches, it just hurts when they're doing the switch way up top.
Yes.
Now you have these guards going into the paint, and that's why you're not getting the rebounds as well. The bigs, I don't want to say they're nowhere near it, but it's not an area of priority at that point, which is kind of just under their identity right now.
Yeah, and it's the high risk, high reward thing that we were talking about earlier. But when you defend ball screens that way, you're going to get knocked down low, and it's going to be tougher defensively. If you're telling me that you're exhausting a lot of that energy on defense for these ball screens and you're Kevin Kalu, and that's what's hurting you on offense, I don't really know, Sal. I don't know if he's offensively sound enough. They don't run any plays for him down low.
They don't really run any plays in general on offense as it is.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's a good point as well. Even with the sets that they run, it's more like high-low pick-and-roll action, and it's asking the guards to do a lot. As far as, you know, Devin Barnes today, his game, the 5-of-12 shooting from the field, the 3-of-7 from the from beyond the arc, the 10-of-14 from the charity stripe, the 4 assists, I liked his game, man. I think he's going to be a very valuable asset for this Miner squad. I like the fact that it was like a your turn, my turn between him and Ahmad Bynum, and Alberto, I think that's the key in the future, like with the Miners scoring and getting up to maybe like 80 points. Tonight they score 79. They're going to need to kind of do this your turn, my turn between Bynum and Barnes. I think those are going to be the guys who are going to emerge as the scorers for them.
Yeah, today was Bynum and Barnes, especially there in the second half, especially as guys got into foul trouble, right? And that was what, to me, was the most interesting today, is guys got into foul trouble late in the game, and the Miners needed to find answers. Where were they looking to? Who were they looking to, and who were they bringing on, and who was there? And today, it was Ahmad Bynum, so I really liked that. And I'm sure today it was Ahmad Bynum and Devin Barnes, but the Miners have a lot of scores, so it can be any two guys on any given night, and that's just what I think. But I like the scoring depth that there is. Obviously, the rebounding depth, that's something else.
Okay, I'll give you a stat line, Sal. 0 points, Four rebounds, four fouls, one assist, 24 minutes. Who's that player? Oh, yeah, it's Kevin Kalu.
Can I counter it?
Yes.
18 plus minus, the highest and the only one.
Yeah, the 18 plus minus. That's the highest. George, that's the highest right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I was about to get into that. Yeah. I mean, between the three bigs, they almost have a net plus minus of zero. It actually ends up only being plus three between the three bigs. That's Kalu, Derek Hamilton, and Elijah Jones. It only ends up being plus three because of Kevin Kalu. And what's crazy is it plus 18 plus minus with 0 points and four total rebounds. That guy's doing a lot. He's impacting the game in a lot of different ways, obviously. But, yeah, we got to get more from the bigs here, the rebounds. I we talked about it earlier. A lot of it's effort. The guards can pitch in on this, too. I mean, this might be an extreme example, but Russell Westbrook, right, that guy crashes the boards all the time because it's a lot of its effort.
Well, they're going to need a lot of guard play to give him some boards, Sal. Yeah. And that's, I think, how you look at this in general. Like Corey Camper with two, he needs to have closer to five.
Right. Same way, kind of, there's like a nickel back on defense, somebody who's just rovering. Have somebody like that. Designate somebody to be that guy. Like if you're not going to I'm not in the playbook, so I can't guarantee it. But if we're not going to see a lot of motion on offense, at least have motion to get the offense started before you even get to half court. It's kind of like a free for all. But I mean, I would like to see who can do that. Last game or one of the last few games, we got to see it be a Trey Horton. Obviously, we saw what happened tonight. Not a many, if any, numbers for him, but you got to designate some guys for other areas if you're not making up for it on one part.
Okay, Sal, a trivia question on the spot, okay? UTEP is in the top 15 of one of these categories right now in college basketball. This is only four games in. Let's just throw that out there. It's only four games in, okay? But they're top 15 in college basketball in one of these categories, and you tell me which one it is. Block percentage, steal percentage, non-turnover steal percentage, free throw percentage, 2-point percentage, or 3-point percentage. Which one are they a top 15 team in?
What were those first two again? I was answering the line.
Yes,
why.
It was block percentage, steal percentage, non-steal turnover, free throw percentage, 2-point percentage, and 3-point percentage.
Ooh, I think it's between steal percentage and non-steal turnover. Yeah.
It's 3-point percentage.
Get out of here.
What is this team? This is insane to me.
What world is this actually?
Like, actually, that stat to me, I had to do a double take on this. I actually had to click on this and make sure KenPom was correct on this one right here. But they are. UTEP is 43% from beyond the arc right now. And it's after a big one tonight, a 50% shooting effort tonight, 11 for 22 from downtown for the Miners. And that lifted their percentage up higher than normal. By the way, 2-point percentage, they're one of the worst in the nation right now. 35%, 363 in the nation right now in 2-point percentage. You talk about that non-steal turnover, they're 200th in the nation, so just a little bit lower than, halfway into college basketball right there at 213. But I like the steal percentage right now. They're top 50. They're 39 right now in steal percentage, and that tells you right there, it's not the dead ball turnovers anymore. It's not the shot clock violations anymore. They're actually getting steals, and they're actually getting, like, blocks that lead to turnovers, and that's a testament to this defense.
And that's what powered them to the big lead that they had early on. That defense was locked in, and they got to ride that basically throughout the rest of the game.
UTEP shooting 43%. That's the stat of the night, right? That's probably the stat of the night. That's crazy. All right, back to the phones we go. 915-505-6009. Out to Santa Barbara, the beautiful city out there in California. It's Mark who's joining us next. Mark, were you out there tonight? And welcome aboard here on Miner Talk. What's going on?
Absolutely. I was on the UTEP guest list via Steve Yellen.
Oh, that's amazing.
He called me this morning. I'm a UTEP alum. And he called me this morning because he knows I live out here. And he's like, hey, man, you want to go to the game? And I'm like, oh, for sure. So I was right there behind the bench. I watched the game from start to finish. And I'll tell you, the reason why UTEP won is because they were more intense they wanted it more and they had more energy, and they really kind of blew Santa Barbara out.
Okay, Mark, this is the stuff that I don't get to see on ESPN Plus and I don't get to hear on the radio. So I need to ask you this, because it seemed like in the dead ball periods, UTEP was like talking, not necessarily smack, but they were like having confident talks and confident discussions throughout the game. Like whenever they'd go up against their opponents, they had a lot of confidence and swagger to them.
You know, that I tell you, that coach and that coaching staff are intense. You can't coach that, you know, and so it has to come off of, you know, some kind of osmosis or something. And I tell you, I've watched UTEP basketball for a lot of years, and this is, well, they pass very well, but somebody made a point about not going inside. And, you know, the situation with that, that's what's going to kill UTEP in the long run if they go deep in the in a conference tournament or in a national tournament. It's just they need to play better post-defense. They made that guy for Santa Barbara look like an All-American, and he wasn't that good.
Right, yeah. No, I agree on that.
He wasn't that good, you know.
Yeah.
And so what they need to do is get the 6'7" guy in practice and practice post-defense with that 7-foot guy and learning how to defend the post, because that lob is going to happen every time if you don't defend the post right. So that's just, you know, my own personal opinion. But overall, that number 23 for the Miners, he put them on their back. He said, we're not going to lose.
Yeah, you know? Great. Otis Frazier III was great closing this one out.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, and then the kid that shot the free throws at the end, I think you mentioned his name.
Devin Barnes.
Yeah, he showed a lot of leadership out there too tonight. I was really impressed overall. I was really impressed with their performance and going into a loud gym like Santa Barbara's gym, and for them to kind of tune that out and just to play hard. And yeah, we gave up a big lead, but you know what? You could always feel that Santa Barbara needed to get closer than even from 5 points in if they were going to win. And so hats off to a great road win for El Paso.
Good job, Mark. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for giving us a call, and thanks for weighing in on the show way out there in Santa Barbara, man. Appreciate
right,
you, and
you guys,
you're welcome
you
back on the show
there,
anytime, man.
Okay, very good. Take care.
Awesome. You too. That's Mark joining us next year on the program, 915-505-6009. If we're going to take any other calls, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next, 600ESPNElPaso.com as we continue. A couple other tweets to get to. Clearwater, he was chiming in on the program earlier in this game. Actually, let's do this one. Sad UTEP fan. Got to give credit where credit is due. Awesome game by the Miners. However, another double-digit rebound disadvantage. 66 from the stripe and gave up another 17 offensive boards. Ham and Kalu are the weakest links. Hope Baba can get healthy quickly. Also, thank goodness they sat Baylor Heb. The Babacar Mbengue thing is interesting, guys, because he is dealing with something behind the scenes. I don't know if he's going to get healthy this entire season. Same with DeCannon Wickware. I don't know what the status is from him. But right now you've got these bigs. It's three guys. It's Kevin Kalu, it's Derek Hamilton, and it's, Elijah Jones right there, for better or for worse. But that's the rule. That's the group that they're going to roll with the entire season. Pick My Axe 915. Tweets into the program. Consistency has always been an issue under Joe Golding. I hope it happens. Tristan Pence, a real confidence building win for UTEP. The two biggest improvements from last year's team, 3-point shooting and ball handling. The Miners must improve on rebounding and limit their fouls. Next week's tournament will be interesting. I think the Miners have a chance to sweep it. Tristan, I do too. King Eric, actually, this is Trey Politz. UTEP has great guards. Barnes and Bynum are great additions. Way better than Hardy and Powell. Rebounding has to improve. Four guys in double figures will get you wins a lot. Great road win. All right, we got to talk about it. Devin Barnes and Ahmad Bynum versus Tay Hardy, Zid Powell. Sal, who do you take?
Oh, it's too early.
It's too early.
It's way too early to ask that.
It's way too early.
And I say this because
we'll make an answer maybe next week.
With all due respect, is that really a fair question to ask after the game that we saw over against Utah Valley, right?
Yeah.
No one would think to ask that question, but of course you want to ask it after a night like tonight. Now, it's no disrespect. I mean, maybe not. And also, it's a subjective question. you know, but let's revisit this question. How about
even a month from now, not next
Valentine's
week.
Valentine's Day. That way we can see if we still love this question.
Okay, yeah, let's pin this one. Trey, you got to come back to us with that
it's
one.
It's a good question.
It's a good question. We definitely want to hear more from that one. So, yeah, I like it. Any thoughts from you two, George or Alberto?
Yeah, it's definitely too early, and I also have a special love for Tay Hardy in my heart, so that's definitely hard for me. And also, Zip Powell only played here for 1 year, right? So,
you're really just basing this off of, 1 month for Barnes and Bynum right now at this point. Daniel Gonzalez, Kevin Kalu doesn't rebound and doesn't play good defense neither. He's the biggest physical body UTEP has right now. Kiana Terrell. Our good friend. She said, Mama is not happy with David Terrell fouling out. Let me clear this up. She's not happy with the foul out or most of those fouls, but she is ecstatic for the win. Okay. Joe Chacone checking into the program. Leading from the start to the finish is such a breath of fresh air. Definitely need to work on the boards and the fouls. Both of those lead to big runs for UC Santa Barbara. Thankfully, the Miners were able to recover from them. Could be costly in the future. Need to watch that. Hashtag keep winning. Hashtag Miner Talk. That's coming in from Joe Chacone. Hey, let's do this, guys. Let's take a timeout right now, our only timeout of the program. And when we come back, we'll give out our Hot Hand Award. It's brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. And we'll give our Player of the Game, brought to you by the Oscar ID at the Allstate Agency. All that and more coming up next. Miner Talk continues. You want to talk about it? Give us a late call at 915-505-6009. UTEP defeats UC Santa Barbara 79-76. Let's talk about it right now. 915-505-6009. We're back with more in a moment, presented by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Weather, uncorruptible yet mysterious, its movement determined by the cosmos and nature as indiscriminate as it is life-giving. Here at ABC 7, Doppler Dave Spielman puts his decades of experience to work observing Mother Nature, studying her science to anticipate her track and craft the most accurate forecast you can trust for your property, your family's safety, and your peace of mind. Doppler Dave Spielman, the Borderlands Chief Meteorologist.
Hunt Companies and the Woody and Gale Hunt Family Foundation are proud supporters of UTEP and our Borderplex region. For over seven decades, Hunt has helped support those initiatives that provide a better quality of life for El Pasoans, help develop our economy, and make us a more competitive city. Initiatives like La Nube, our new Children's Museum and Science Center, El Pasoans Fighting Hunger, the El Paso Zoo, and UTEP Athletics and Scholastics.
Dead Beach Brewery, home of El Paso's craft beer, is brewing fresh beer by El Paso for El Paso. Check out the brand new tavern, located at 3200 Durazno Avenue. Open from 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. Enjoy the Dead Beach Craft Kitchen menu, featuring items for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Beer, wine, specialty coffee, and non-alcoholic drinks available. Now booking private events for any special occasion. Visit deadbeach.com for full information. Dead Beach Brewery, proud sponsor of UTEP Athletics.
Hi, I'm attorney Noe Valles with Lachine, Valles, and Enderman Injury Lawyers. For the past three decades, we have recovered millions of dollars for our clients who have been seriously injured or lost a loved one in a catastrophic crash, work injury, or out in the oil field. Let our five-star client reviews on Google speak for themselves. Our team of experienced attorneys are here to help you 24/7. If you have been injured and need help, come see us today. Our consultations are always free. We win, and we win big for our clients. Visit us today at gvilaw.com.
Since 1981, expert HVAC and refrigeration has helped thousands of El Pasoans cool off during the spring and summer months. They are one of the few companies in El Paso that install high-efficiency Amana refrigerated systems that keep your energy bills low. Expert HVAC and refrigeration is highly rated on Google and was named the Best of the Border and Best of El Paso winner in 2022 for refrigerated air companies. To schedule an appointment, visit them online at experthvacandrefrigeration.com.
The holidays are here at the Home Depot. If you're working on getting ready for company,
a lot of company,
make sure you're ready with Black Friday savings. Get up to 40% off select appliances, plus up to an extra $1,000 off select kitchen appliances. Upgrade your kitchen with top brands like GE Profile and get sleek cutting-edge appliances to make sure you've
got hosting handled.
Yeah, you do. Get Black Friday savings now with free delivery and financing on select appliances this holiday at the Home Depot. Offer valid November 6th through December 4th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Hey, El Paso. This is Michelle Smallman, and now it's your turn to sound off on the UTEP game. Miner Talk with Adrian and Sal is coming up next on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Niner Talk returns here along with Sal, Alberto, George. I'm Adrian. We're continuing here presented by Jack in the Box, 915-505-6009. If you want to duck in a late call, now's the time to do it. Next three games for the Miners are in the Bulldog Classic. This will be a neutral site series for UTEP, a MTE for UTEP as well. San Jose State, they are 1-5. Long Beach State, 1-4. UNC Greensboro, 2-1. Combined record for the Miners taking on these opponents are 4-10 going into next week. Miners have an opportunity, Sal, in my opinion, to sweep. I'm taking UTEP to sweep next week after defeating UC Santa Barbara 79-76. That's my pick.
Yeah, you know what? I got to stick with my last pick. Based off of the fact that I said it, like, I can't just switch up. That's not that's not right. But I'll say this. I hope that I'm proven wrong. I think it was like a 1-2 walk away, something along the lines of that, with the win coming against the Greensboro, who happens to have the best record of them all. But I say this not having seen a game for either of those teams, just kind of stat reading. So the way they played tonight, though, it does show promise. However, there's going to come a point in time, or multiple points in times, where they just take on a team who's going to dominate on the boards and run with that. The same way the Miners run away with the idea that they're going to win it off their defense, which is showed tonight. A team is going to say we're going to run away with the idea of starting and ending with the board. So we'll see if any of those teams present that challenge.
Hey, just looking ahead for the Miners and the rest of their schedule, right? I talked about this last Miner Talk. I'll talk about it again. After November, it's a tough gauntlet for the Miners. A home game against Seattle. This is a good Seattle team again, out of the whack already. 1-3. That doesn't really speak to how good of a team this team is. They beat UC San Diego. They've lost to Eastern Washington, Liberty, and Cal Poly, but they've got a lot of talent on their team, and they're still picked to be a top 150 team when it's all said and done. So Seattle is, you know, first team in December for the Miners at home. Then they go at Louisville. And that's a team right now, which is 2-1. They've got a gauntlet of games ahead of them themselves for the Cardinals. Indiana, Mississippi, Duke before they host the Miners. That's Wednesday, December 11th. And then a Monday game against Tarleton State. Tarleton State, a weird season so far, 1-4. Their losses come to SMU, Sam Houston, Florida State, and Baylor. So they've had to play some tough teams themselves. They play Michigan this Thursday, then next week they play Iona, Hofstra, and then Indiana State next weekend is on their schedule. So we'll check back in with Tarleton State at the top of December to see where they're at. But the point is, a gauntlet of games here ahead for the Miners here in non-conference play, just knowing where UTEP's at, and I think it'll tell us where the consistency lies for this UTEP basketball squad. I have high expectations. I have UTEP winning 4 or 5 to close out the month of November. Thoughts from Alberto or George? You guys go ahead. Any thoughts from this one?
I was looking at the Las Vegas games. I had them winning 2 of 3. I don't necessarily know which one they're gonna drop. But the probability of the Miners going out and winning 3 games, neutral site or not, it's extremely difficult. So I have them going 2 of 3. Not as difficult opponents as who they just played and who they handled handsomely. So I'm expecting the Miners to kind of build off of this and really get going into conference play and before conference play in that Sun Bowl Invitational.
Yeah, I'm with you, Adrian, actually. I think that they could run the table here and win this Bulldogs Classic. One of the things I do want to see them do more, obviously, besides rebound, is start jacking up more threes. And I would never say this, but the math is there. The math is there. If they're top 15 in the country in doing it, you have to start attempting more, because the math supports you at this point. You're at that position. You can put up more points.
Is it too early, though? Is it too early? Sal, is it too early?
It is too early. And I say this because look at the night that they had not too long ago.
So against Utah Valley, they shot 33% from me on the arc, 5 of 15.
And we also got to consider who they've played. I mean, this is really just their second Division I game. And I guess just off the top of my head, pairing the percentages, I don't know the exact numbers, you're around that 40 or so percent when it comes to it. It was a really good day today. It was a really bad day, you know, against Utah Valley. So talk to me after
Seattle?
After... Yeah, let's say Seattle. I think that's a bad. I was going to say Louisville, but we just talked about really good, really bad days. After Seattle, I think we'll have a better sample size. Yeah. But to that point, though, if the math is still there, go with it. Why not?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's a little bit early, but this is the time to figure it out.
Yeah.
So I say jack them up, man. Right now, you got to jack them up, and maybe that'll open up a little bit of the inside game for the bigs to get going because it's hard right now, but.
Feast or famine.
Yeah.
3-point scoring is feast or famine, my friend George. I've watched way too much basketball for UTEP to just say, just jack them up. Just give them the car keys and tell them go.
Green light.
Basically with your shielder on it.
You know? I'm just going to say this. As far as the 3-point scoring right now, I think the numbers will kind of even out. Could they be top 5 in conference, you say, in 3-point percentage? Yes. Is that a huge upgrade from last year? Yes. They were one of the worst 3-point scoring teams, not just in CUSA, in all of college basketball.
You know what's crazy, too, Adrian? How many times did we say, if they just made one or two more threes per game, this team could do so much better? That could be something we find out this year. And, maybe we were just saying whatever. But, no, man, if they are shooting it from three, you got to get the points from somewhere. It's not coming from your half court.
Trolley Dodgers chimes in with a late thought. Drinking Kool-Aid already. I made some mistakes the other way. The loss to Utah Valley. Learn from my mistake. Wait for consistency. That's right, George. Wait for consistency before you say just jack up the threes, just in my eyes. Text until I die. This is UTEP Milkman, our pal. Miners finally get some outside shooting. That's what we were missing last year. If they keep this up, this could be a good year. Hashtag Miner Talk. Good stuff, Milkman. Good to hear from you, my friend. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. It is time for our hot hand of the game. Sal, I'm going to defer to you on this one right here. We can go so many different ways. Wind Supply of El Paso will definitely get their money's worth from our selection from this one. Hot hand of the game. Who's it going to?
You know what? Hot hand of the game. Oh, my goodness. This is tough, but I got to go with one. Go ahead and give me Ahmad Bynum.
It's crazy. Devin Barnes led the team in scoring, and he's not going to be player of the game nor hot hand of the game. And Bynum ends up winning the hot hand. Give me your reasoning.
The reason why is it is not fair because what we say for Bynum can also be applied to Barnes, but just kind of seems when there were daggers that were needed, Bynum provided that. And he did it in a more efficient type of way. Barnes, obviously, he gets 8 more points, but it takes 5 more shots to do so, all while Bynum gets 1 more 3. At this point, we're kind of nitpicking as to why, but somebody has to get it. I'm going to go with Bynum.
Okay, I think it's a great pick. I would have chosen the same thing. Wind Supply El Paso, by the way, trust their 50 years of service. Choose a trustworthy HVAC system supplier here in El Paso. That's Wind Supply of El Paso. Click their website. It's windsupplyelpaso.com. Visit the Find a Dealer tab, and you could check out Champion Dealers right now. That is windsupplyelpaso.com. Check out the Certified Champion Elite Dealers on their website and learn more online, windsupplyelpaso.com, for our hot hand of the game. Next up, it's the player of the game. I don't care what you guys say. I'm going Otis Frazier III of 21 points, 9 of 18 from the field, 4 blocks, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 36 minutes of action. Sal, do you think he could become the best two-way player in Conference USA like he claims himself to be?
He could be up there, and that's tough to say because there's a decent amount of
two-way good players. Guys.
Yeah, there's guards who do it. There's bigs who do it. He just happens to kind of be, you know, a little bit of both, so to speak, just with the style of play and his athleticism. So he could be in that conversation for sure. Definitely a first-team All-Conference USA honors. I think that's fair to say. But the best, I mean, we'll find out. I still remember a couple of years ago, who was it? It was Jelly Walker versus Tyler Perry when it came to North Texas UAB, different positions, but maybe we could see that type of hype. You know, we'll be able to see Otis Frazier versus the guy out of La Tech later on this year.
Yeah,
so,
Bacho. I like it. Yeah, a little Otis Frazier III versus Bacho. Who could be the better two-way player? I think that would be a great one. Clearwater tweets into the program, absolutely, both San Jose State and Long Beach State are 0-9 against D1 competition. UC Greensboro is solid. A good way to get some wins, flow, and confidence with the big December games coming up. Seattle, which beat us last year at the Don, Louisville, and Tarleton Billy Gillespie's. That's all on deck. Good stuff, Clearwater. I appreciate that. And I appreciate Otis Frazier III, our player of the game tonight, presented by the Oscar Adietha Agency. Hey, the Oscar Adietha Agency presents the Hometown Hero Award every UTEP men's basketball game. They've just announced Private Ramon Espinosa Jr. They announced Jonathan Killings not too long ago. Also, Dr. Jennifer Rachel George. A lot of great hometown heroes who have been honored thanks to the Oscar Adietha Agency. If you know someone that is deserving of being honored as the hometown hero at the next UTEP game, visit OscarAdiethaAgency.com, click the Hometown Hero button, and click the Nominate button so you can nominate somebody right now here for the Oscar Adietha Agency Hometown Hero Award. Guys, we turn the page. It is the Ball Dog Classic next, and that is going to be how we wind things down here on the program tonight. Sal, as we wind it up with some just final thoughts, Miners tonight avenge their road woes to Utah Valley. That game feels like an anomaly now. Am I getting overly excited about UTEP? Not until they prove it to me. They sweep next week in my eyes. That would tell me that this team is one of those that or is living up to the hype that they had all offseason long. This team wanted to be a good road team all offseason long. They could prove it here in a neutral site in the Ball Dog Classic next week.
I think we'll definitely be able to see we'll have a clearer view of how we should feel about this game based on how Santa Barbara does in their conference. Same could be said for Utah Valley, but I'm such a hypocrite, though, because I was so down after the Utah Valley game. I was doing the football game. That's how down I was. I didn't even see it, and I felt terrible about it. But just, you know, flip it around, the UC Santa Barbara shows the game shows promise. So in all seriousness, though, it is way too early. However, going into the Ball Dogs, I still got to stick with what I said based off of not getting too high or getting too low. I still say 1-2. But I don't feel as confident in that anymore. Just got to stick with it.
Fair enough. Hey, special thanks to George Guajardo, Alberto Retta, Sal Montes for producing the show. I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are signing off tonight. UTEP defeats UC Santa Barbara 79-76. We're presented by Jack in the Box. We'll be back in action Saturday as UTEP football takes on Tennessee. We'll have Minor Talk after that one. Talk a ton of UTEP football recruiting news and all more here coming up on the program. Minor Talk right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Pledged your life to serve, to make our country stronger, safer, more free, more equal. You worked tirelessly, made sacrifices, missed first steps and birthdays, lost loved ones. At VA, we don't see the setbacks endured. We see lessons applied and passion driving you upward and forward.